darksome shadows that lurk about my new and untried way. Keep me with thee, and do thou watch my goings. I need thy care and guidance every day. When fiery trials come along my pathway, keep thou me near thy common erring. No need to fear when I am in thy way. And when the evening shadows dim my vision, still keep my hand in thine own loving hold.
Good evening. It's a blessing to be here with you all this evening. Last evening, we were not in comforts as a church. And the last comfort that we were doing, I was helping some of the young people. And I asked them, what should I share with the young people tonight? You know, young people get all these ideas and these thoughts, and I thought maybe they have some thoughts for me. And sure enough, they did. But I can't share everything that they thought. I thought before we get into the message, I would share just a little clip of how thankful that I am here today. And before I do that, though, I'd like to ask you young people, when is a time that you should not obey your parents? When is the time when you should not obey your parents? Do you have any ideas? You all kind of like, what am I getting to? And this is not a trick question. I will tell you of a time, and you'll understand when I'm done with my testimony. So May 17th of 2019, my son James and I were greasing the hay tedder, and a concrete truck pulled in from the neighborhood because they needed a place to dump the leftover concrete. And James continued with his job there, and I took care of the concrete, then I went back to help him. We finished greasing the tedder, and I told my son, if he folds the tedder up, it's kind of a trick to do that. He can go take care of his honeybees, and I'll do the hay tedding. And so he jumped on the tractor and started the tractor, and I was not out of the way. He had left the tractor PTO engaged unawares because he kept starting the tractor and shutting it off to adjust all the tines. He was using an angle grinder to cut the new teeth off. And so the tedder grabbed a hold of me and whipped me around a couple times, we think maybe three times, but we're not sure. Long enough till I was ready to get out of that merry-go-round. I mean, it hurt every time I came around. If you understand how those spinner tedders work, is they interlock in the center of the arms. And so I was wrapped around the arm, and every time it did this, it just busted me up more. Well, he stopped the tractor off right away, and it threw me out the back about 15 feet. And I was laying there on the stones, and James came running back. I was trying to get my breath. I couldn't breathe. And in a very tender and very sympathetic voice, James looked down at his daddy and said, "Dad, I'm going to call the ambulance." And Dad said, "No." And I shook my head vehemently. I hardly could speak. And so what was he supposed to do? Dad said, "No, don't call the ambulance." Well, is he going to stand there and watch his dad die? I mean, I can't breathe. I couldn't sit up. I can't do nothing. And so the second time he says, "Dad, I'm going to call the ambulance." And again, I said, "No, I don't want the ambulance." I mean, I was knocked out before. As a little boy, you fall and it takes the breath out of you. And I thought, well, soon I can start breathing and then it'll be okay. I'm out of the tether now. Well, James disobeyed his daddy. And he pulled his cell phone out of his pocket, and I couldn't do nothing about it. But you know what? I'm kind of glad he disobeyed me. I wouldn't be here if it wouldn't be for emergency personnel showing up really fast. I had a hole in my lung. I had a gash in my liver. I was bleeding internally. I had 7 broken ribs and 3 broken bones in my legs. And my tendons were torn and ligaments were torn. And I had big lacerations all over, just blood. So I'm very thankful to be here. That's not the message this evening. I would like to ask you first, what about today did you enjoy? Is there anything that you learned that you can tell us this evening that you learned or that you were blessed by today? I'd just like a couple of volunteers. Maybe you can fill me in on your youth inspiration day. What about the today did you enjoy? The teaching, the fellowship, anyone? Give me a little bit of a, yes, the singing. That's beautiful. So you like to get together and sing. What else? Hearing God's word. So you had a couple messages today. I'm sorry, I don't know what the agenda was. Any specifics about God's word? How to handle finances. Good. That's good. That's a good thing for a young man to get under his belt while you're young. Anybody else? How about on the ladies' side? Yes.
I enjoyed the discussions on how to build our own convictions.
Discussions on how to build our own convictions. Praise God. You know, that's one of my prayer for my children, is that they will be men and women of conviction. I saw another hand over here, sister. Having the fear of God. Thank you. So, if I am supposed to bring a conclusion to this evening, where do you have your clock? Up there. I would like to talk about the conclusion of the whole matter in Ecclesiastes. Says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You young men and young ladies, you're going to see a lot of changes in your time. From how technology keeps evolving, how churches apostatize, on and on. You're going to see a lot of changes. You probably won't ever quite see what Solomon saw in his glory and in his own kingdom there. But you're going to see things changing. You know, when I was your age, there was one battery. It was a lead acid battery. That's it. Everywhere you went, you buy lead-acid batteries. And now, then they had... And by the way, they didn't have cordless tools, at least not that I remember. I wonder some of the older brothers how... When was the first cordless tool invented, where you could stick a battery in? And then the first ones that came out were those Makita 12 volts and... They didn't do much. I mean, they didn't last much. Now you can put a battery in a drill, and you can drill almost all day long with if you have enough amp hours. And lithium-ion batteries, now they're talking about some sodium battery or something that's going to be even better. So you're going to see a lot of changes. But I want you to hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And that is, in the midst of all these changes, you need to learn to fear God and keep His commandments, for this is your whole duty. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. When you think of the Old Testament and all of its laws that the people had, 610 of them, what do you think about that? Says that we should fear God and we should keep His commandments. So, as I understand, the nation of Israel, God's people, had 610 commandments to keep. Anything from how to take care of mold in a house to what thing to go through after you touch a dead animal to what foods you should and should not eat to a purification of issues of blood and on and on and on. 610 commandments. And the Bible says that we should fear God and we should keep His commandments. What do you think? 610 commandments. Think you could remember them that many? That's what the Bible says. We should keep them. 610 of them. Now, you know, there was the Ten Commandments. Those were a little more broader. You should love the Lord your God. You should love your neighbor. Not lie, not bear false witness. Well, did you know that the New Testament has 1,050 commandments? The New Testament has 1,050 commandments? Now, they really overlap a lot. There are a lot of them are repetitious, so there's actually only around 800 or less. And I'm going to read a few of them to you this evening, not 1,000 of them, because you're not going to remember them anyway. But I would like to awaken in you, young people, a deep sense of joy and fulfillment in recognizing that God's commandments are for your good. When God says something, it is actually for your benefit. And it doesn't need to be this oppressive, oh, another commandment. Oh, it's actually given by your Creator, someone who understands you better than you even understand yourself. So they're categorized into different sections here. There's 7 commandments in the New Testament that have the word abstain in them. We should abstain from idols. We should abstain from fornication, from eating blood, and we should abstain from all appearances of evil in Thessalonians. Abstain from fleshly lusts in 1 Peter. There is 74 B's. That's B-E apostrophe S, B's. Be exceedingly glad, Jesus said. Is that a commandment? Be exceedingly glad? Some of these commandments you're going to have a little bit of a hard time to maybe see as a commandment. But I'd like you to, if you have time, look up what does commandment mean if you look it up in the dictionary. It's not always an authoritative command. Like if I tell you, please sit down. I can say, please sit down in a just a normal, everyday tone. I'm not talking to a little child that's out of order. When Brother Leonard was up here, he said, can we rise and pray? Or let's rise and pray, I think he said. It's a command. So be exceedingly glad. How about this one? Be reconciled to your brother. Jesus talking. Again, I want you to, in the context of all these commandments, they're for our good. And they were written by your Creator for your own benefit. We're told to be wise as serpents. Be ready for Christ's coming. Jesus said one time, be content with your wages. Be merciful as God in Luke chapter 6. Be at peace among yourselves. Be patient towards all people. There's 74 B's. There's seven things to avoid. In Romans 16, we're told we should avoid troublemakers. We should avoid profane and vain babblings. First Timothy, we should avoid false science, unlearned questions, foolish questions, genealogies, and arguments about the law. There's 30 be not. 30 be nots. Jesus said, be not like the hypocrites in prayer. Be not like the hypocrites in fasting. Be not called rabbi. Be not called master. Be not many teachers. Be not ignorant of the time with God. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. 30 of those. And then there's 10 do's and there's 10 do nots. Do good to them that hate you. Do good to them that hate you. 800 of these commandments that are written. And I'm here to encourage you this evening, like I said earlier, to inspire you that these commandments that God has given you, to fear God and keep His commandments, are for your own benefits. And as we saw in our text, for God will bring every work into judgment. Every good thing you do, I'd like to primarily hone in on the blessing. Sometimes we talk a lot about, you know, the negative side of things, but there's actually a good thing when it is from our heart that we want to do the Lord's will. But one of the best things that you can experience, and that should be a normal Christian practice, is to love God, to fear God, and to keep His commandments. Let's turn our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 10 and just look what God said there in Deuteronomy chapter 10. Verses 12 to 13. Talking about the blessings of obedience. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. So, consider what's happening here. They're given a lot of commandments. And it appears like they're real people with making real choices. And God is speaking through Moses here. And he's saying, if you're going to hearken unto the judgments and keep them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he swore to thy fathers. God made a covenant with Abraham. And he swore that he's going to bless him, and he's going to bless those that bless him and curse those that curse him. And now he's saying, many years later, that if we keep the judgments, he's going to keep the covenant and the mercy. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb, the fruit of thy land, thy corn, thy wine, thy oil, the increase of thy kine, and thy flocks of thy sheep, in the land which he swore to thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. Quite an amazing promise if you really think about it. Not one single barren couple. Not one single barren sheep or goat or cattle. None. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou hast known upon thee, but will lay them up upon all them that hate thee. So quite a blessing if you hearken unto the Lord. Turn a few pages over to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Again, I'm very sorry. I think I was reading out of the wrong text there. I was reading Deuteronomy chapter 7 in case you couldn't follow after. I had said chapter 10. So turn with me now to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Verses 12 unto 13. And now Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes which I command thee this day for thy good. It's for your benefit, whether you were one of God's children under the old covenant, or whether you're one of his children today. It's for your benefit to keep his commandments. All right, let's look at some of the New Testament commandments a little closer up now. I have homework to do since Bible school. I've had a number of young people who have given me a piece of paper, and there's three questions on there, and the last question reads like this. Is there a direction you would like to take the church that I should know about? put my heart into. Now, Brother Leonard, that's a very broad question, isn't it? Is there a direction that you would like to take the church that I should know about and put my heart into? And I find it a challenge to answer that question, because it's a deep question. And Brother Mark Miller taught at our Bible school. And he gave all the young people a piece of paper, and he asked that they give it to their parents and then give it to their elder. And so that's why I've been getting these papers. And that is a big question. It's a beautiful question. And I'd like to suggest some things this evening, and maybe you have some thoughts. But my first answer would be, just a very broad answer would be, fear God and keep His commandments. Because that's the conclusion of the whole matter. But, you know, maybe young people want something more tangible, something more practical than that. Well, if I have persuaded you that God's commandments are for your good, then I'd like to look a little bit at what God says in the Bible. And I can't go into it too much, because I don't want to go past 10 after 8. I know it's been a long day for you, and I'd like to get to the point and then take my seat, if you allow me to. So, we have all these commandments in the Bible, and I'd like to help you to see that, or if I persuade you that they're for your good, I'd like to take a look at what it actually says. When God commands us to serve Him, what does He say in Psalms 100, verse 2? He says, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing." Come into His presence with singing. Did you know that in the first church, in the early church, when they were so persecuted, one of the emperors finally said, "Who are these Christians? Well, and what are these people all about?" The report that came back to them was three things. One was they get up early in the morning and they sing songs of praises. Men, get up in the morning and sing songs of praises. Bible says that we should serve Him with gladness. God does not like a sad and a gloomy countenance. He wants us to be joyful. And you know, that's choices that you and I are going to make. We're going to choose what affects us and how it affects us. What about giving? What does the Bible command about giving? In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, God loves a cheerful giver. Again, He doesn't like when, if you give money for a cause or of your time, you give it grudgingly, like, "Oh, this is going to hurt my bank account." Like, "Oh." Or, I'd not sure if I can give this time. I just gave last time, but I guess I should, so I'll stick a $20 bill in again, whatever. God loves the cheerful giver. Don't even give if you can't give out of a cheerful heart. Get your heart right, and then give. Give till it hurts, because God loves the cheerful giver. God loves His church. And all of his commands are for our good. And I beg you young people this evening that you get a hold of, when you read your Bible, when you see God's commands, that you see it from the aspect that is actually for my good. It's actually for my good. If it's my idea, then it's probably not good. But if it's in the Bible, if it's God's command, it's for our good. It's God's will for every church that there are elders ordained that oversee and they care for the flock. And so when we, as elders, when we see those passages that they're in Acts 20, verse 28, let's just quickly turn there. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Paul's addressing the elders at Ephesus. And he says here in 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood." And so we need to see that as an elder, we need to see that, oh, the Bible's saying that it's important that we shepherd the flock because they're purchased with his own blood. The church is purchased with his own blood. And it's, they were told to ordain elders in every city. And so we see this as it's good that we shepherd them. And in 1 Peter it talks about how we should do that. And you know what? You should see that as, oh, it's a good thing that there's people who give oversight to me. You should see this text, read this text and see that, oh, it's a good thing. God has designed it that somebody gives oversight. Somebody, you know, shepherds this and gives some oversight to this because it's God's will. And lastly, I'd like to just recite a little bit the story, the account that happened under, can't remember now who was the king over that time. But we have Mordecai, we have Esther, and we have Haman. Wicked Haman, we'll call him. And it was over a time when, for whatever reason, the Jews were despised, God's people. And Haman somehow plots this thing against God's people that he wants them all annihilated. Every Jew is sentenced. Can you imagine living under that time? So we have Mordecai and we have Esther. And Esther actually, through the hand of God, finds herself the queen of this king. I'm thinking, was it a Persian king? Who was the king? Was it Persia? Yes. So Esther is sitting as queen. And this is a big deal. Esther is a Jew. Mordecai is a Jew. Well, we should call them Israelites. And the news gets out that all Jews are going to be killed. All Jews are sentenced to die. Mordecai comes to Esther and says, "Esther, What if you are coming to the kingdom for such a time as this? What if? What if God put you here for this very reason? Right now, this doesn't look good. Esther says, well, you know that I can't go into the king unless I'm invited to go. And she says, you tell the people to fast and pray. And he did. Mordecai used that opportunity there. Esther was willing. Esther says, if I perish, I perish. I'm willing to take the chance. I'm willing to go see the king. And so they go to the king, or Esther goes to the king, maybe takes a few others, knocks on the door, and he holds out his golden scepter. Esther moments. God wants you all to experience the blessings just like Esther and Mordecai experience. And he's going to be looking for people today and in the future. There's Esther moments. And that's why I'd like to awaken in you a deep sense of joy to serve God. Because when that moment comes, you want to be available. Whether you're a Mordecai, whether you're an Esther, for his glory. I got a phone call today from a lady, we'll call a lady, who needs prayer. Her grandmother took her to church when she was a little girl growing up, and so she was taught the Bible. But she got disillusioned, stopped going to church, stopped reading the Bible, stopped praying, and now she finds herself in the middle of a divorce. Her husband is trying to get rid of her, and I guess some of her family has passed away, her mother, and she's asking, what can I do? And weeping bitter tears, wanting help. And the world is full of these people. So one of the things that the young people said last evening was, how can we be in this world but not of this world? How can we be there? We're clearly told in the Bible that we are in this world. So we don't want to be this little isolated group in the Himalayan mountains and just dream of having this nice little protected and sheltered group. We want to be in the world, but not of the world. So God can use us, and God wants to use you young people. God wants to use everyone. He has work for every one of you young people. The world is full of hurting, discouraged people. And he wants to use you to tell the world that he is righteous and he is good. And his commandments are for your good. So start with that when you have a conversation with somebody who maybe doesn't even know, nobody ever talked to them about being born again. And you come and say, are you born again? Well, what does that mean? Start talking about God to people. Start talking to them about, watch for those opportunities when you can talk about the fear of God and the holiness of God, and and ask them questions. Do you believe there is a God? And just put the ball in their lap and see what they make out of it. God wants, it's God's will that you all, as members of the body of Christ, are equipped to minister to the world, minister to each other. And it should be reciprocal. It should go back and forth. As you gather yourself together in ways like this, I've heard it this evening, you know, you're encouraged. There's things that happen when we gather together. And there's it's like fuel to keep us going. And there's Esther, and there's Mordecai moments waiting to happen. And my prayer is that each and every one of you don't miss those opportunities. God's going to be looking for you so you can depend on someone. All right, let's pause and pray. Father in heaven, we ask that you would help us to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Servants, Lord. And you have told us, Lord, that your commandments are not grievous, but they are life to us. And we pray this evening, Father, that we could see them as clear instruction for your children, Father. We pray, Father, that you would inspire us and help us to reach out to a needy world. So many people, Lord, around us who have no hope, who get up in the morning and go to work and live for another weekend. And we pray, Lord, we ask that you would use these young people in their generation to show the world you're holy and you love them, and you will bring every work into judgment, whether it is good or whether it is evil. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.